TechCast Episode 7, discussing Sam Altman and OpenAI.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to TechCast 7 with Tom Winfritz and myself, Brian Kinnan. And today we're going to be jumping into the psychodrama that is OpenAI. So, Tom, what do you think about it?
Well, just remind me, what is OpenAI?
So OpenAI is probably the leading AI company in the world at the moment. They created a foundational model called GPT based on some original work done by Google in 2017 in the area of what are called transformers. And this model is a giant statistical machine that can predict words looking back from thousands of other words. And it's been trained on basically all of the content in the internet. And thus, when you interact with it and you talk to it, it can respond in a human-like manner using all the knowledge of the world. And it creates the appearance of being intelligent because you can have a meaningful conversation with it. It will respond. It will reason. It will work things out. And nobody quite knows how it completely does it. They know how they created it, but somehow there's some magic going on in the machine now that they don't quite understand, but it appears to create the illusion of intelligence.
And the company was co-founded by a chap called Sam Altman, who we'll come to a little bit later. But who owns it?
Yeah. So it's owned by a nonprofit predominantly, but they did bring in private investors such as Thrive and Microsoft into the private arm. So the original concept of OpenAI was to create a safe evolution of artificial intelligence for the benefit of humanity. And it was set up as a nonprofit. Then over time, as it needed more and more capital to develop the systems, which require a huge amount of training and compute power, it went for external capital. So the nonprofit became an owner of a private company that had external investors. And then they further evolved the model from a nonprofit to a capped profit that would let investors to make a certain amount of return, but it was capped, the amount of profit they could make from the company. And that's where it is today. It's a hybrid of a non-profit and a profit-making entity.
Does that create an inevitable tension? Because presumably some of the people who were there at the start are still sort of hippies wearing slippers and shoes and don't believe in profit.
Yes, well, certainly, the original intent of the company was as a kind of a more beneficial organization. And it has evolved as it's raised capital into more of a profit-making entity. And apparently there are conflicts at the board level. So the board had most recently had Ilya Sutskever, who was the chief scientist. It had Sam Altman, CEO, Greg Brockman, who was, I think, COO. And then it had a number of board members. It had Adam D'Angelo, the CEO of Quora, Tasha McCauley, a technology entrepreneur, and Helen Toner, who's an academic at Georgetown in the area of emerging technology. So that was the board. And the rumors had it that basically that the company had been evolving and there was a philosophical schism within the company regarding, to what extent should it push the company forward for profit and to what extent should it, reduce that tendency to basically focus on safety and ensuring AI is developed safely in the marketplace. And that's where apparently the schism and the main tension was. And there's a lot has happened in the last few days. There was further tensions emerged that there are letters on the internet claiming that a number of ex-employees had criticized the leadership, Sam Altman. There's also rumors that a breakthrough had been made in the company called QStar, which was the development of a super intelligence. But the kind of watershed moment appeared to be dead.
Rumors that Altman had over promised and under delivered to the outside investors?
Well, I would say it's the opposite. I think they've over delivered. So right. I'm not sure because a pivotal moment came about 2 weeks ago when they had Dev Day. They launched Dev Day and they basically released an evolution of the platform that would allow any person to build their own AI, build their own GPT on the platform, and that they would share revenue with the person creating the GPT from any usage of it. And also that they would do other things such as they reduced the cost of usage, they introduced copyright protection. So they were really morphing it into a platform that anybody could use to create their own AI. And perhaps this was maybe the kind of crystallizing moment where the schism then, you know, became very manifest, because they were seeing this evolution of this research-oriented company into being a complete platform out there in the commercial world being used by people. And this seemed to be the trigger event for the dispute at the board. But as I said, there's other rumors. There's rumors that there's criticisms of Sam Altman. There are rumors where they have discovered super intelligence, and then the board felt the time they had crossed the Rubicon and they had to take action. So there's a lot of rumors swirling around, but certainly the dev day did seem to be a trigger for this event.
Okay, now the event was that the board basically fired Sam Altman.
Yeah, so the way it appears is that Ilya Sutskever, in combination with Adam D'Angelo and Tash McCauley and Helen Toner, ultimately concluded that they had to remove Sam Altman. So they fired Sam Altman, demoted Greg Brockman. Greg Brockman then left as well. And so Sam Altman and Greg Brockman left the board, left the company. And then then a whole bunch of things ensued from that. The existing board sought a new CEO, which they found one. There's rumors they tried to merge the company with Anthropic. There's a lot of rumors going on.
But one thing we do know is that Sam Altman then was offered a job by Microsoft, heading up an operation which doesn't exist yet. And Microsoft is an investor in OpenAI, but basically they wanted to hire Sam. And then, quite remarkably, nearly all of the employees of OpenAI signed a letter saying, if he goes, we go.
Well, think about it. Some people say that Satya Nadella, who's the CEO of Microsoft, demonstrated incredible leadership during this process. Because remember, Microsoft predicated a lot of their growth strategy on their partnership with OpenAI. They have integrated OpenAI technologies throughout their product portfolio. They've been very active in promoting it. Satya Nadella appeared at Dev Day with Sam Altman in person. And so suddenly, when the news broke that Sam Altman had been fired, Microsoft, a core pillar of Microsoft strategy, is now suddenly disrupted. So what Satya Nadella did, which I think is quite impressive, he literally jumped in there straight away, hired Sam, and said he would hire the entire team from OpenAI. So straight away, he had gone in and protected Microsoft's position immediately by saying, everything is the same as it was yesterday. It's just the difference of where the people are sitting. Are they sitting in OpenAI or are they sitting in Microsoft? But nothing else changes. And actually, that preserved and increased the value of Microsoft on the back of that initiative. So hugely impressive. So he basically played a masterstroke of saying, I support OpenAI. I support Sam Altman yesterday. And today, I support OpenAI and I support Sam Altman. And it can be in any configuration, but the capabilities will remain the same. So there is a view that Microsoft have played it very masterfully and managed the situation impressively.
Of anything like this before?
Well, not only that, the Ilya Sutskever, who had been part of the board that fired Sam Altman, then X'd that he regretted that decision, and he also signed the letter.
Right, which so is someone even crazier. Who fired him then said he was going to leave as well. Just amazing. Wasn't that just a recognition that he'd sort of backed the wrong side there?
Totally. Totally. I mean, the critique is that the board were immature and did not understand how to balance the appropriate stakeholders. And some people said there should have been a much more extensive dialogue. Microsoft were not even informed until the last minute, one of their biggest shareholders. So it was, I think a lot of people feel it was very badly handled by the board. And now there's a new board being appointed. So that old board has stepped down. Only one member is remaining from it. And a new board has been appointed, which is, I believe, Brett Taylor was CEO of Salesforce, co-CEO, and Larry Summers, who obviously was a Treasury Secretary, I think, in the Clinton administration. So they've been appointed to the board, and the old board is stepping down, leaving only Adam D'Angelo as the sole representative of the original board.
Okay. And I'm quite confused by one thing. If a workforce quits and goes to a rival, wouldn't the IP behind OpenAI have remained with the old company? Would they have been able to take that with them?
Apparently, remember, Microsoft have a partnership agreement and an investment in OpenAI. So I'm pretty sure their agreements gave them the unrestricted use of the IP.
Okay.
So they could continue to make use of it. And then again, remember, with the rate of progress in the area, like each new iteration or generation of the software could probably be fairly easily replicated by Microsoft, because they provide all the compute power, they provide a lot of the tooling, they provide the cloud infrastructure, and then they get the people and they can restart the training initiatives, et cetera, on the software. So I think Microsoft were once they knew they could get the people, they were in a powerful position either way. So as I said, they played it very well. And I think that pressure that Microsoft gave the employees really the confidence to say they could make that statement, knowing they had a go-to place with Sam Altman anyway. So I think it empowered the staff. And so, as I said, Microsoft enabled the staff to stage a successful revolt and restore Sam Altman to the leadership. But note, I think in the agreement they've reached, Sam Altman will not be rejoining the board. So I think that's one of the compromises.
So he's not, but presumably he may not be on the board, but he's going to be wielding all the power.
Well, I would think so also. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
If I was a minority investor in OpenAI, I feel that I had no power whatsoever now. Shouldn't Microsoft just buy everyone else out?
I think that, also more interestingly, apparently Thrive, one of the investors, were orchestrating a secondary market purchase of employee shares at a multi-billion dollar valuation. So that's also an interesting point, so that deal got paused as a result of this turmoil, right? So there's a lot of incentive for the staff to want the company to be restored with their options, et cetera. So I'm sure that also figured into their mindset. But interestingly, apparently, as stated by Sam Altman and other board members, none of them have equity in the company, which is interesting also. It's held by the nonprofit and the external investors. So a very curious business.
So Sam Altman co-founded the business, but has no equity in it.
Apparently, yeah.
Well, that's crazy. Well, surely if he's such a critical figure, he has to be given equity.
Well, remember,
how would you run a business if you're star player at your business? Well, that's you, of course, yeah. Brian. But if you had no equity in it, you'd go somewhere else.
Well, remember, it was founded as a non-profit. And by the way, one of the co-founders was Elon Musk, ironically.
Right. Well, he knows all about companies that never make a profit. I know that.
Yeah. So I think what will happen is there'll be a readjustment of the company to make it a bit more traditional, I suspect, where there'll be proper incentives for all the staff, and there'll be proper governance for the external shareholders. What I would have done if I'd been in the shoes of the nonprofit board is, rather than creating this chaotic schism, I would have probably gone out and found some very serious, respected international research people and political people, and I would have established an ethics, and maybe they have this, but I haven't seen it, an ethics and safety board, where those people, their reputations would become a kind of a guiding force for the executives, because then people would know if those independent people left, they'd know there was something wrong. So I just think it was handled badly, but with Microsoft's intervention, it took 4 days to basically, at this point, because it changes a lot every morning, they seem to have resolved it.
What you are in essence saying is this is maybe a growing up moment.
Yeah, definitely.
For the company and maybe for the industry. So going forward, Altman will probably get some equity in the business, and it will be run on commercial lines rather than saving the planet with Elon lines.
Well, I think there'll be some balance. But also, by the way, apparently, and again, this is the gossip mill, apparently Helen Toner, the academic board director, stated that in order to preserve the mission of the nonprofit to benefit humanity, it would be acceptable to destroy the company. Now, that's an interesting statement.
You can't invest in a company with that sort of ethos, can you?
Okay, and that's why they've stepped down. Yeah.
Okay, I understand that. The only can we learn anything else from this?
I think what we're learning is that we're rapidly entering the public consciousness that there's a very serious issue to be considered about how AI will be developed within society. And I think there's a couple of points. One is people don't fully understand what goes on inside these AI systems, which means whereas before with technology, it was quite deterministic. You do this, it does that, you know how it works. Here it's not, it's statistical. So you can never be quite sure what's going to happen, right? And that has implications. Secondly, the technology can be widely distributed. It's not like nuclear power where only a few people can control it. Anybody can control it. Any group can control it. The rate of evolution of the technology, the rate of distribution of the technology, the rate of reduction in compute requirement means that you could have thousands or millions of AI agents around the world in the hands of good people and in the hands of bad people. And it could ultimately allow the creation of bioweapons. It could allow complete deep fakes of every person on the planet. I mean, the implications are profound. And the combination of the power of the technology, the rate of evolution, the massive distribution ability to any person, the ability to access it, and the inherent unknowability of exactly what it does, I mean, it has indicated we do need a proper consideration of what it means to harness these technologies. And I think this event at OpenAI is a microcosm of a much bigger issue.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that brings me to perhaps a closing wrap here. The other big event in the world of AI over the past month was, of course, Rishi Sunak interviewing Elon Musk. What did you make of that and the conference at Bletchley Park? What did you make of that? Is that just politicians jumping on a bandwagon or is there something more serious at play?
I would say there's maybe four things going on. The first is, what politician doesn't like a bandwagon, right? I would say number one. Number two, apparently Rishi Sunak, you know, he obviously studied at Stanford. He has a great interest in technology, and he really, you know, had taken a leadership role in trying to encourage a safety debate, which is a great debate. Number four, Elon Musk is interesting because Elon Musk is launching his own AI, XAI, and Grok. And he believes that current AI systems are too woke. So he's launching a non-woke AI. You should sign up for that, Tom. So and that will should be quite interesting. And fourthly, no, it's a critical debate. It's an absolutely critical debate. And it requires many stakeholders, scientists, engineers, business people, politicians, philosophers, because it's profound. Because, like, for me, AI challenges the very concept of what it means to be human. I mean, it's serious, you know.
It is serious and it's frightening. And that was something that Musk raised, saying it was a threat to humanity.
Yeah. But I think the bigger threat is human on human using AI at the moment, because AI allows small groups of people to have magnified impact on society, right? And so at the moment, I think the bigger threat is how do human beings will use it rather than the AIs themselves. But of course, down the line, the AIs can become sentient. They can become self-replicating. They can design their future generations themselves without humans. I mean, that's all possible. Once something's in code and replicatable, I mean, it's the power law. It's exponential. You never know. Anything can happen.
And indeed, as we've seen over the past few days, anything does happen in the world of AI. Yeah. Right, yeah. It's been too long since we recorded a tech cast, Brian. We must record another one very soon.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to get back on it.
Okay, speak to you soon.